This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. So we'll talk about some more good news at the beginning of this hour. We're going to try to clear out some emails, some rocky economic news, potentially horrible FISA news, but that is what it is. All that and so much more coming up in the second hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, there is something about human beings individually, and it also applies to civilizations at large. And this something is human beings, oftentimes, when things are going well, they don't really make improvements on themselves or their family and their lives because things are going well. And I don't know about you, but I certainly struggle with that and have struggled with that in the times in my life where I had a good job and the family situation was good and my car was running and the bills were getting paid. When that's happening, you don't generally wake up in the morning and slap yourself in the face and say, I got to get better. I suck. That's the kind of time where you stand up and you think to yourself, I've got to figure it out. Huh, look at how smart I am. It's when you're down, when you're jobless, which I've been, when you're running out of money, which I've gone through, that's when you say to yourself, man, get your freaking self together. When you get a 0.0 grade point average your first semester of college, that's really what I did, by the way, Montana State, love you. That's when you look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, am I going to be a freaking loser my whole life? And you go join the Marine Corps and almost get killed. But that's how human beings work. And we as a nation don't want to go through hard things. I certainly don't. I want to leave the country better for my sons than I found it. Doesn't look like we're on the right track there, but whatever, we're trying. I'm sure that's what you want. Leave it better for the next generation. When we get down, though, oftentimes you'll see a return to the old ways, to the better ways. Here's a poll number for you, a good one, not political. This is a Gallup poll. 42% of men aged 18 to 29 now say religion is very important in their lives. Do you know what it was just a few years ago? 28%. 42%. Monthly religious attendance among young men has climbed to 40%, up from 33%. That's the highest level in over a decade. Our young men in this country, and if you are a young man listening, I want you to take this to heart because it's true. They are the ones who will decide the direction of the United States of America. They will. Men are designed to be leaders. They are supposed to lead. If our young men are pathetic and effeminate and losing their way, then the country itself will be pathetic, feminine, lose its way. And if our young men become strong, get back to the core beliefs that made this country great, they will in turn end up leading this country in the right way. And I know, look, it's one poll, it's a few years, but I've been seeing these numbers on religious service attendance. You know, not broken down by any specific one, but just religious service attendance. It's going up, 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 and up among young men. Young men are realizing maybe there was something to the way my grandpa lived. Maybe if I want the kind of country my grandpa had, maybe I should be conducting myself in some ways the way my grandpa did. And if that kind of trend continues, we're going to see great things happening in the future of this country. That doesn't mean they're going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't mean they're going to happen in the midterms or 2028 or whatever next political thing we're dreading or looking forward to. But it does mean in the long run we win. Headline, Tennessee drops Pride from June and renames it Nuclear Family Month. Now, the best part of this headline is the last part of it, sparking outrage from the LGBT community. That's weird. Why would the LGBT...
Why are you gay?
Why would they be mad about Nuclear Family Month? Oh, did you lose your little Rainbow Demon Month? Are we now celebrating what is good? Holding up what is right instead of all this pink feather boa wearing filth? Yeah, that's a good thing. There are lots of bad things. These are good things, and we should celebrate them. Let's clear out a bunch of emails because tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Jesse, been listening for quite a while, and though I haven't heard all your shows, I'm surprised at the lack of discussion regarding term limits in the Convention of the States initiative toward voting for constitutional change to require term limits on Congress. We all see and know these entrenched politicians are bought and paid for, and over the years become enemies of the people they supposedly serve. It seems like an obvious fix to mandate term limits. I know it won't be a magic bullet, and corruption will always exist, but it's at least a step in the right direction. What are your thoughts on this? Why isn't this a point of repeated discussion? So on and so forth. All right, so why is this not a point of repeated discussion? Here's why. I am not a huge fan of term limits. Now, but hold on. I'm not saying I wouldn't vote for term limits or I wouldn't support term limits. It's not that. You want to term limit these dirtballs out of office? That's fine with me. But in looking at politics, looking at our cultural situation, I try the best I can. I'm not saying I always get it right. I try to get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem. Now, let's talk about something bad. Here's something bad. Two bad headlines. Middle East shipping disruptions propel aluminum to four-year highs. Okay, I saw a chart this morning showing fertilizer shooting through the roof. Okay, here's another headline. Bessent says economic growth will be slower this quarter amid the Iran war. Okay, all right. Now, why are these things so devastating? Why? Because if I say this is going to drive prices up at a time when people are desperate to have prices come down, and this is going to wound us severely politically, you probably agree with that. I would hope you agree with that. I mean, if you don't agree with that, you are deep in a bubble, a bad bubble. When the prices go up because of what you're doing, people vote the other way. This is when normal people step up and say, why would you ever vote Democrats? They're going to make everything worse. They'll do everything worse. Even if you're mad at Republicans, Democrats are going to make everything worse. You're correct in saying that. Correct. Can't go vote Democrat. They'll make all this stuff worse. All right. So what's the problem then? Why do people do it? You know the truth. I know the truth. You can't vote Democrat. You can get mad at Republicans, but you can't vote Democrat. They'll make it worse. The problem we have as a country is not people staying too long in the House or the Senate. The reason people stay too long in the House or the Senate is because we have a dumb, lazy populace who doesn't care about the news, doesn't pay attention to the issues, doesn't understand the who, what, when, where, and why of power and laws and regulations and taxes. They don't take the time that you take to understand these things, and therefore they go out and they vote for however they're feeling at the moment, whichever way the winds are blowing at the moment. Up, I'm going to vote against the Republicans in November. Why? Gas is too high. Well, you shouldn't vote that way. Yell at them till you're blue in the face. That's how swing voters vote. My power bill has gone up. I'm voting for Democrats. Well, what are you talking about? Democrats are going to make it worse. I don't care. No, my power bill went up under Trump. I'm voting for Democrats. That's how they vote. And that's the problem. Term limits, it may get rid of that corrupt congressman, but it does not get to the root of the problem. And that's why I don't rant about it all the time. The root of the problem is lazy, uninformed, apathetic voters who don't take the time you take to get involved. And those are the people who are the deciding vote in elections. That is where the problem lies. You could term limit every member of the House and every member of the Senate tomorrow. And if the population doesn't improve, our problems would all remain, that we wouldn't have no improvement whatsoever. It is the voter who must improve, not the House, not the Senate. The House and Senate will improve when the voter improves. That's why. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Jesse Kelly, subject to this one is question from a 9-year-old. My name is Camden. I'm 9 years old. I'm a Republican, anti-communist boy, and I have a mullet. I love your show. My favorite subjects are history and Medal of Honor. Do you have any kid war history book recommendations? Oh, and my mom is letting me use her email address because I'm not allowed to have my own yet. Thanks for reading this. Sincerely, Camden. Sounds like you got a great mom, Camden. Kid war history books. Camden, you don't need any kid war history books. You're 9 years old and you're an anti-communist and you have a mullet. You're ready for adult war history books, all right? So let me give you a little recommendation. There was a man, I believe he's passed on now, by the name of Shelby Foote. Last name is spelled F-O-O-T-E, Shelby Foote. Shelby Foote wrote Civil War history books. They're amazing. And I don't know what kind of war you're interested in. Maybe it's ancient war, swords and shields. Maybe it's big, you know, foreign wars, World War II type stuff. But in my opinion, if as an American with a mullet, the Civil War is one of those things I feel like any man and woman should have at least some basic knowledge of. And I mean more basic knowledge than North versus South. It was about slavery. There's so much to the Civil War that is, it's important, I believe, for Americans to know. Angels and demons on every side, good, bad, ugly, horrible things, wonderful things, bravery, and it was here. It took place here in our country. A terrible, terrible thing. What's it called, Chris? Chris looked it up. The Civil War, a Narrative, the 3-book series. Chris said it's nearly 3,000 pages. So Camden, listen. Look, you can handle it, but I don't know how much of a voracious reader you are. Do 5-10 pages a night. If you get to boring parts, and this is not just advice for Camden, it's to everybody. History books can get boring because historians will oftentimes feel the need to give you numbers. He had 35,000 troops, but the reserve element was 20 miles away with 25,000. Just skip past it or just kind of browse over it. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You're not going to remember those details anyway by the time you're done with it. Ask your mom to buy you Shelby Foote Civil War books. You don't need kid books. You're 9 years old. It's time. Jesse, I'm not completely convinced we're going to get blown out in November. Last midterms, we had an unpopular president, a bad economy, and an unpopular conflict in Ukraine, yet the House didn't shift all that much. I'm not saying we'll win, but in the last 8 years, House only shifted a handful of seats, think it might be similar, so on and so forth. Says I can say his name is Rob. He said, P.S., it's okay to have bar ice cream. They wouldn't have it in stock if people in the audience didn't get it as well. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for being the only listener who has supported me ordering ice cream at a bar. Thank you, Bob, for your support. On the midterms. One, I hope you were correct. Two, let's remember why Democrats didn't lose as many seats in their midterms. They cheated. And I'm not one of these guys. I've never been one of these guys that say Democrats cheat in every election. But they cheated a lot. Why were they able to cheat so much under the Biden regime? Because they still had all those mail-in ballot things put into place. Basically, the machine that stole the 2020 election for Joe Biden, that machine was still in place in 2022. That's the unwritten story. Everyone talks about the 2020 election because we all know Donald Trump won the election and they stole it and they were mad about it. And that's the way people feel. But the story people don't discuss is that all happened in 2022 too. It's just there was no presidency on the ballot. So it didn't get all the stop the steal protest things. But why do you think the Biden administration arrested so many of those January 6ers? And announced they were going to arrest more. What do you think was the real motivation behind that? They knew they stole the 2020 election. That's why they told you it was the freest and fairest ever. That's when I knew they stole it. As soon as they say that, that's when you know they stole it. They not only stole it, they arrested the people who were maddest about it. And then they promised to arrest more. It wasn't just that they hunted down 1,000 of those people and arrested them. They came out and publicly said, we're going to go after 1,000 more. It's not like they were backing off just because you were outraged over it or I was outraged over it. They said, we're coming for all of you. Why do you think that is? They didn't want you to ever feel comfortable questioning another election they stole. And they stole it again in 2022. I bet you money they lost 20 seats in the House of Representatives in 2022. That just didn't appear because it was done in a blue area. That's the truth. Here's what else is the truth. You don't have to deal with multiple policies when you're a business when it comes to your insurance. You don't have to deal with multiple applications. I need this guy for this insurance, but this guy for that insurance. You don't have to sit and do this thing where you're combing through all the pages. What is my coverage here? I don't understand. You don't have to deal with this headache anymore. SuperSure is your headache relief. What is it? SuperSure is one super agency. They will handle all of your policies. They'll get them for you. Not only that, they'll let you know what you have right now, what is your coverage specifically, and they'll tell you. They'll give you a full report with no obligation. What is your coverage? Hey, you're overinsured on this, but you're underinsured on this, you're just right on this, and whatever you're not right on, they'll go help you get the right one. They handle it all. All you have to deal with is SuperSure. No more multiple policies, no more multiple applications, one super agency. SuperSure.com/Jesse is where you go. SuperSure.com/Jesse. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jewish producer Chris is a liar. He's shaking his head, but I'm going to tell the story gospel truth, Chris, and look, it's up to them to decide. So we got some pizza and wings, as we do on occasion. We just got a pizza delivered. Jewish producer Chris, Corey, they threw in some boneless wings since I was paying. I've never had wings from this place. Chris said, you should try them. I said, no. How were they? Chris then goes on to say, they were good. They were pretty good. I would order them again some of the time. Not every time, but some of the time. And I'm giving him the same look that you're giving the radio right now. So they weren't good. No, they were good. You can try them. Chris, you know one thing I've tried to teach you about life is this. The truth is very simple. It's very direct. Lies are complicated and confusing. If you really just bit into a delicious chicken wing and I asked you, as I did, how it was, you know what I would have heard, Chris? Excellent. Gotta try one. That would have been an honest answer. Not this politician's good. I'd order some of the time. Maybe if I haven't brushed my teeth and the sun was shining and it was between 75 and 78 degrees outside. The truth is simple, Chris. What, Corey? What? And there we go. Producer Corey gets on the mic and said the truth. You know what he just said? Did you hear how long I paused there? You know what Corey said? They were all right. Now that's the honest truth, Chris. See, don't you feel bad now that your lies have been exposed to everybody and Corey stepped up to the plate and delivered a dose of truth that was, I mean, hold on, two words. They're all right. Two words. That's how I know he was being honest. You meandered through 5-10 sentences trying to tell me how good they were. It doesn't take 10 sentences to say they're good, Chris. What? What? Chris said, the pizza's good. Do you order it every day? So now what you're trying to do, this is a very womanly tactic. Now you're trying to muddy the waters on the lie you just told. No. We're not going to change the subject. We're not going to change the subject at all. It's not going to work here. We're going to stay on the subject at hand. The wings sucked. You know it, and I know it. Now, let's pause for a moment. Since today we're going to spend a little bit of time clearly dumping on our new DHS secretary who said this, I played it earlier.
So we want immigration. We want legal immigration, people that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants. We understand
that. The right
kind
of immigrants.
Let's rewind because he said something else I have not yet played for you, but he said something else that is really bad. It will be forgotten. You won't hear it probably on any other shows, but I heard it and I winced. In fact, I waited until halfway through the show to even play it for you. We are first going to rewind and remember, as we've done before, what happened and why it happened and how communists operate.
what happened in Minnesota. Trump administration gets elected. Trump administration runs on mass deportations. Trump administration, to their credit, begins to carry out mass deportations. They are going to the commie-controlled areas because that's where the worst of the worst are. But they announce, yes, the worst first. There's no question. But if we kick down your door and there's nine people living there, yeah, we're going to grab the murderer who's wanted in El Salvador. But if everyone there is illegal, you're all going too. You're all going. Everybody, gone. And I think you would agree that that's the way that should go. Every illegal must go. And they started doing it. New York City, LA, the various blue parts of the country, they started doing it. They had been at this for some time. The communists in the United States of America, and let's be honest, some foreign communists, they know full well how important it is that foreigners remain in the United States of America so they'll continue to vote commie and destroy the country. It's everything to them. As I've said a million times, it's not a side issue to them and it shouldn't be a side issue to you. Mass deportation saves America. Mass importation destroys it. There is no other issue besides that issue as far as the magic bullet, right? So the communists decided these deportations have to stop. They were looking at the deportation numbers of the Trump administration. They looked at the deportation numbers from year one of the Trump administration, and they said, oh my gosh, this is a disaster for us. So what did they do? They didn't sit back on their hands. They did what communists always do. They organized and decided to raise a ruckus. This is how communists always operate. This is why Democrat politicians, you'll hear them, all of them talk about, we'll take it to the streets. We're going to take it to the streets. Why is it that you never, ever, ever hear a Republican say we're going to take it to the streets? Because that's not the way Republicans, that's not the way they push for issues. A Democrat, whether you're in power or out of power, a Democrat is a communist, and a communist has always understood that there is power in causing a ruckus in the streets, rioting, protesting, damaging things, murdering people. These things can move the ball for your side. That's why we have who knows how many communist organizations in this country, street animal organizations, and that's what they do as a full-time job. They don't even usually have one specific cause. There are just, and we know this now from the investigative reporting, there are communist foot soldiers sitting by the phone right now as you're listening to the sound of my voice, and they're waiting for a text. They're waiting for a phone call. Hey, we need you in Miami tomorrow. We need you, all 50 of you, in Miami tomorrow. We have the signs waiting for you. They're going to be picked up. Keep in mind, we're going to do a training. This is how it goes, really, by the way. We're going to do a training session right when you get there so you know about the laws, the masks you can and can't wear, how far can you push it before they're going to make arrests. This is the plan. I had a printout for you once. I read some of it for you on the air. It was basically an instruction manual, like you're putting together a Lego set. Here's an instruction manual. Do this, 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 and that, on how to run an operation, on how to run a communist street protest. That's what they do. And they decided these deportations were getting bad enough. It's time to send in the shock troops to Minnesota. And they did. They sent them in. They sent them in with clear instructions, and you started to see video footage every day of communist vehicles cutting off DHS cars. One night, as I mentioned, they were kicking in the windows of federal law enforcement vehicles, ripping out the computers. I remember there was a time when a couple federal police officers, I forget who they were with, they were eating dinner. The communist mobs found out they were there, and they had to wait and call in backup before they could safely leave the restaurant. But what else happened? Here's what else happened. A couple commies got murdered. Not murdered, sorry, that's totally false. A couple communists got killed. One lady, Renee Good, tried to drive over a cop. Remember, he had internal bleeding. That's a deadly weapon. That's completely justified every single time, 100 times out of 100. She slammed into him with her SUV. Her brains ended up splattered all over her car. She died. Then this Alex Pretty guy pulls a gun in a scuffle with police. He dies. Now you have two dead communists. Then what happened? Then the communist stop went into overdrive and it got on Trump's desk. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So the communists ran an op against deportations in Minnesota. They deployed so many street animals, they got so rabid that two of their street animals died. Then something happened. And here's what happened. The media started to run story after story after story about these dead communists. They would use the best possible picture of these people. You know how they do it. They use the most flowery language humanly possible to describe communist street animals. Dead, murdered. Every late night show, murdered by ICE thugs. And then somebody, who knows who, got in Donald Trump's ear and said, hey, this looks bad. Hey, man, this isn't good. This is bad press. We should back off. Donald Trump made the decision. Kristi Noem, get out of Minnesota. Greg Bovino, he was the Border Patrol guy keeping the crowds back. Greg Bovino, get out of Arizona or get out of Minnesota. Tom Homan's going to get sent in. We're going to work with the Minnesota politicians. What deal did they strike? Well, it seems obvious what deal they struck now. Minnesota politicians would start handing over the violent criminals they arrested to ICE, but they got something back too. In turn, we decided we weren't going to deport as many people. We weren't going to arrest and deport as many people. And now we have confirmation of this. As I mentioned the other night, deportations were down 12%. 12% down, not up. Remember, we were building the deportation machine. Why would deportations be down? They were down because the Trump administration struck a deal with Minnesota that we wouldn't deport as many people. Now, love or hate any of that, that's what happened. My question to you is this. If you are a communist, what lesson did you learn? What lesson did you learn? If we're in the grocery store and my son asks to buy a box of double stuffed Oreos, and I say, no, you can't have double stuffed Oreos. And my son throws himself on the ground and starts screaming and yelling, I want the double stuffed Oreos. And I eventually turn to him and say, all right, I'll get you a little box of double stuffed Oreos. What lesson did my son learn? I'm going to play you our new DHS Secretary Mullen. You know, I already played the audio from earlier. This is different audio. I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed. Listen to this.
We do have a different leadership style. We're still enforcing immigration laws. We're still deporting illegals that shouldn't be here. We're still going after the worst of the worst. But we're doing it in a more quiet way because my goal in 6 months is to not have DHS on the lead story every day. We want.
Your goal is what? Hold on. You're the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, charged with border security and the deportation of foreigners. We have 50 million of them that have to go. That's probably a low number. 50 million have to be located, arrest, and sent out of my country. What's your goal?
We do have a different leadership style. We're still enforcing immigration laws. We're still deporting illegals that shouldn't be here. We're still going after the worst of the worst. But we're doing it in a more quiet way because my goal in 6 months is to not have DHS on the lead story every day. We want.
Your goal is no more bad press? You ask why communists spend the money and take the time to carry out these communist ops. Why do it? People get arrested. People get killed. Think about the just time and effort it takes to set up all these groups. Why do you do this? Why do you people run out there and the street animals themselves? Why do you run out into the streets? Aren't you hot? Aren't you bored? You sing all your stupid freaking songs. Why do you do it? Aren't you embarrassed? By the way, if you take it too far, you might get shot. Pepper sprayed. They're always getting pepper sprayed. Why do you communist street animals do these ops? Why did they do it in the Soviet Union? Why did they do it in East Germany? Why did they do it in every single communist country that's ever existed? Why do they do these tactics? Because of this.
We do have a different leadership style. We're still enforcing immigration laws. We're still deporting illegals that shouldn't be here. We're still going after the worst of the worst. But we're doing it in a more quiet way because my goal in 6 months is to not have DHS on the lead story every day.
Because it works. Let's be honest. The George Floyd protests were insanely successful. You can say, well, oh, Black Lives Matter, they're on the outs now. They're all getting arrested. No one cares about that anymore. All that stuff's true. Yeah, how are the laws in big cities now after those protests? What do the police departments look like in big cities after those protests? How many Soros DAs got elected to open up the jails after those protests? Soros DAs who are still elected today. The communists called on the shock troops to raise a stink after some scumbag died of a drug overdose, and it was one of the most insanely successful communist ops in the history of the United States of America. After that op was done, the communists met in a room. They probably didn't have a meeting, but they met in a room and looked at each other and said, oh my gosh, did that work? Let's do it again. Next time something really threatens the communist revolution, let's do it again. It worked again. That's the goal of a new DHS secretary. No bad press! If that's the goal, whew, I'm in trouble. Get to some emails next hour. I'm done with this crap. Before we do that, let's take care of your pain. I know that you have aches and pains. Maybe you just flat out have chronic pain. Maybe it's an old injury of some kind. Just some piece of your body is degenerating faster than the rest of it. Maybe your elbow hurts, your knee hurts, your hand hurts, your shoulders hurt. But you need to put down the pill bottle and you need to stop ignoring it. Relief Factor takes it away. Speaking of getting to the root of the problem, all these other things mask it. Relief Factor gets to the root of it to eliminate it completely. Not give you a few hours of relief, giving you a lifetime of relief. A lifetime being pain-free. Do you even remember what it was like to be pain-free? Try it for 3 weeks. $19.95. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.